We are going to revisit. Sometimes I need to do this because of the feedback that I get. I realize that maybe I didn't answer something as sufficiently as it needed to be answered. So here we go. Here's the first one. I'm going to revisit the Sabbath question. You guys ready for this? A guy by the name of Stu asked this question. He asked, Saturday Sabbath, Sunday Sabbath, or no Sabbath, what is it and why? And as I said when I started this last time, I just want to be biblical. And I think when I said that, I laughed a little bit. And I said, this is probably going to get me in trouble. And I even had, you know, some people responding that I was taking it too flippantly, something that's serious. I wasn't laughing because I was taking it flippantly. I was laughing because it was more of a nervous laugh about the kind of trouble that these kind of questions can lead to. But, you know, charges came. You guys have heard that probably the verse where Jesus Christ says that he who relaxes one of the least of these commandments will be counted, and you know, teaches men so, they'll be counted least in the kingdom of God. I had those kind of charges coming, leveled at me, that, you know, here I'm denying the fourth commandment. I want to give you guys all a tool to use, and I hope you'll find this helpful. Ultimately, whether you agree with the position I take on the Sabbath or not, I think this is a very useful tool. What I want you to do, if you have your Bibles there, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And about verse 7 is where I'm going to read in just a moment. But before I begin reading there, Paul quotes a verse here in 1 Corinthians. He quotes a verse from the Mosaic Law, Deuteronomy 25:4. Now, you don't need to turn there. Stay in 1 Corinthians 9. But I want to tell you the law that Paul quotes here. You shall not muzzle an ox when it's treading out the grain. Deuteronomy 25:4. Got two seats right up here, Mr. Diaz. But there in Deuteronomy 25:4, you guys ever heard that commandment before? You shall not muzzle an ox when it's treading out the grain. You guys heard that one before? Okay, now, That's a commandment given by God, right? You would all agree. Okay, now what I want you to see is that when Paul comes into the New Testament context, I want you to see how he deals with a commandment from the Old Testament. Let's begin reading. Verse 7. Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? And he's speaking here about being in the ministry, being a minister of the gospel. Who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit, or who tends a flock without getting some of the milk? Do I say these things on human authority? Now there's what I want you to see. Do I say these things on human authority? What's the answer? No. On whose authority is he saying this? On God's authority. And look what he says. Does not the law say the same? What law? The Mosaic Law, right? Because he goes on to quote it. The one I just quoted from Deuteronomy 25:4. For it is written in the law of Moses. So what law is he talking about? The law of Moses, which is the law of God. He says, look, this does not come at you based on human authority. This comes to you on divine authority. What? You shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. Now notice what he says then. Is it for oxen that God is concerned? In other words, here's a commandment given. It's given by divine authority. And what is God concerned with? Does he not speak entirely for our sake? It was written for our sake, because the plowman should plow in hope and the thresher thresh in hope of sharing in the crop. If we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? Now look, here's what I want everybody to see. When you go back and you read the Old Testament, every Old Testament commandment is given by divine authority. What do laws do? They tell us what to do, and they tell us what the will of God is. And what the will of God is that which is consistent with His character, right? The laws of God tell us truths about who God is. Well, here's the thing. Paul doesn't dismiss a text like this. You know, you go back to the Old Testament and you see you're not supposed to sew two types of fabric together. You're not supposed to plant two types of seed in your field. You're not supposed to muzzle the ox. You're not supposed to boil a goat in its mother's milk. You know, you come across those things. What do we do when we move to the New Testament? Do we say, oh, those are a past thing of a bygone age, and we just dismiss them? No. What Paul is saying is that which is given by divine authority is still binding, but in the spiritual sense which God intends by those commandments which are given. You see that? They're binding. They come with the authority of God, but they come with the authority of God in the way that they're meant. You see, there is a binding sense, not in the way it was kept in the Old Testament, but there is a spiritual sense that's binding. You guys see that? Now, this is an important key for interpreting Old Testament laws. Do we deny the fourth commandment? You see, you don't want to deny any commandment. Christ says this, you don't want to relax any. If you relax any, you teach men to do so, you become at least. That's a true statement. But here's the thing. Here's the question that we need to ask. The thing that I would lay down is, you know, I have people accusing me of relaxing, annulling, eradicating the fourth commandment, and bringing upon myself the condemnation of Christ found there in Matthew 5:19. Here's a question I want to ask you all. Is it possible to break the fourth commandment today? Now see, that's a question we have to ask. Let me ask you this. Is it possible to break the commandment from Deuteronomy 25:4 that says you shall not muzzle an ox when it's treading out the grain? If Paul says it comes on divine authority and he's quoting it, in a spiritual sense, that the person who ministers to you spiritual things ought to be recompensed, let me ask you this. Is it possible to break the commandment in Deuteronomy 25:4 about muzzling the ox? Obviously it is. And how is it broken? By not rendering to those who give to you, minister to you spiritually. Okay? Next question is it possible to break the fourth commandment today? Well, yes, it's still a law that comes by divine authority. It's still a law that reveals something to us about the very character of God. And the question that I would have for you is that when we move over into the New Testament, what do we find about the Sabbath? Now listen, this is key here. Because you know what the Old Testament Sabbath law required? That you not pick up sticks? Now listen, it's very interesting. The Reformed community wants to hammer the fourth commandment. But guess what? And they want you to keep it in an Old Testament way. Now here's the thing. I will grant that every one of those laws given under the Mosaic Covenant are binding in the spiritual sense which God intends them to bind us as New Covenant people. And if you want to go back and enforce... See, nobody's going to go back to Deuteronomy 25 and say, well, yeah, you've got to muzzle the ox. I don't see any of you guys even with oxen, let alone muzzling them. But here's the thing. You get people that want to enforce the Old Covenant observance of the Sabbath. You know what the problem is? Most of these people don't carry it out to the extent that living under the Mosaic law, you had to carry it out. which was how far? Well, for one, God says very specifically in Exodus 16:29, remain each of you in his place, let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. You ever read that one before? That comes out of Exodus 16:29. You weren't to leave your house. And you know what? If you did leave your house, how far could you go? A Sabbath's day journey. You say, where's that in the Bible? I'll tell you where it is, in Acts 1, verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath's day's journey. Do we have people coming outside of their houses on the Sabbath and traveling more than Sabbath? I don't know anybody that even talks about how far the Sabbath day journey is. But I'll tell you what, you weren't to travel farther than that. And you see, if you were going to observe this under the Old Covenant, and if that's what they're really vying for, Old Covenant observance, then you better not pick up sticks. You better not come out of your house. If you do, you better not go further than a Sabbath day journey. I'll tell you what, and it says do no work. We got women cooking. You say, is that a problem? Oh boy, you better believe it is. In Exodus 35:2, it says, you shall kindle no fire in all your dwelling places on the Sabbath day. And you know what they were supposed to do? On the day before the Sabbath, they were supposed to gather up twice as much food so that they didn't have to do any preparation on that day. We got people cooking. We got people traveling. I've never heard of a church that's disciplined a guy coming home from services on Sunday and he sees that a wind came through and knocked a branch out of his tree and picked it up. You see, and you know what? I've heard of people, Sabbatarians, some will go so far as to not have their wives cook. Some will go so far as maybe not use electricity because they don't want to make the power plants have to be. Some have taken up positions where they won't travel public transportation. Some have taken positions where they won't go out to eat. Well, why? Because they don't want to cause other people to work. And you know what? People are all over the place. And who in the world is determining where to draw the line? You know who's determining it? Tradition and every man's opinion. They're not determining this based on anything that they find in the Scriptures. So what do we find? Well, here's the thing. Here's what I would tell you. The fourth commandment is not meaningless, but we keep it in a New Testament sense, not in an Old Testament sense. And what is the New Testament sense? Colossians 2:16, let no one pass judgment on you in question of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. Why? Colossians 2:17, these are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Okay, here's the thing. Is the fourth commandment meaningless? No! No way! And I don't say that it is. I don't imply that it is. You know what? It's a shadow. The substance is found in Christ. Have you guys ever heard this? Have you guys ever heard Matthew 11:28, 29? Anybody quote that to me? What does Jesus Christ say there? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll do what? I'll give you rest. You see, the Sabbath was rest. What is the shadow? It's a day of rest. What is the fullness? It's Christ is our rest. Now look, this is where it is. How do you break the fourth commandment when Christ isn't all your rest? When he's not your everything. You know what? The fact is, can we break the fourth commandment today? Absolutely. But you know what? You can't only break it on the first day of the week. You can break it on every day of the week. Now look, I'll grant you this. When the first day of the week by the early church was a time when they broke bread, it's a time when they gathered together, it was a time when they fellowshiped, it was a time when they worshiped together, it was a time when they prayed together, it was a time when they heard the preaching of God together, it was a time when they fellowshiped together, they sung together, it was a time when God's people came together, and where they come together, where two or three are gathered together in my name, what does Jesus Christ say? There am I in the midst of them. And I'll tell you what, where He is in the midst of us, it all the more makes for a an atmosphere of rest. And I won't deny that at all. And the first day of the week, because of all those things, ought to be a time when we're brought back to Christ and brought back to His beauty and brought back to what He accomplished for us. I can die 10,000 deaths and it doesn't do anything to make a way for me to be right with God and to rest from my works. But He came and He did what I could not do. He came and did what you could not do. He came and did what the first Adam did not do. He came and did what Israel could not do. And He kept that law perfectly. And you know what? When it comes with my acceptance with God, and there's no question the first day of a week is a time when we can sweetly come together and we can be strengthened in our rest. But I'll tell you this, if you take the fullness of that rest in Jesus Christ, you can break that commandment on any day of the week. You see, folks, the fullness of that commandment is not found in a day. It's found in a person. And I don't take it lightly. And I'll say this. Look, what I would say to the Sabbatarian is, Mr. Sabbatarian, watch your practice. Because those who make the accusations that the fourth commandment is being denied, better be careful that they don't deny the very commandment found in Colossians 2, 16 and 17. And to those who would deny, or who those who would make the accusation that I or others are denying the fourth commandment, I would say this, again, coming back to practice. And I don't set our church forth as the example, but just because it's true. Do we not come together 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning? We begin to sit under the teaching of the Word of God. We sing. We pray. We sit under the Word of God. We fellowship together. We have testimonies together. We break bread together. We go through these services and through fellowship meals, and then we fellowship till, when did we, 9:30 at night, we're together for 12 hours, gathered around the things of Christ, gathered around the people of God, fellowshipping together. And I would just say this, is there more or less in resting in Christ in that than your Sabbatarian who goes to one morning service and comes home and watches football on TV all afternoon? And look, I'm not saying necessarily, I'm not saying it's an absolute sin to watch a football game on television. I'm saying every man has to stand or fall before his Lord and making those decisions and walking with a clear conscience before God. I'm just saying before people rise up and condemn, they really need to examine this. Who in the end is keeping the heart and the spirit of the fourth commandment? And before we point fingers and make accusations and get all bent out of shape and begin leveling charges that people are rejecting the fourth commandment, I say be very careful before you pass judgment on other people. And in the end, let a text like 1 Corinthians 9 be our guide for interpreting the Old Testament. So there you have it. I needed to visit one more time and just kind of air that out.
For more media content from I'll Be Honest, visit us online at IllBeHonest.com.